Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. We have a fascinating guest. We've got a really cool story. Keith Gluck is a lifelong Disney fan, born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. He has the dubious and, you know, frankly, Tony and I are jealous that he's been to all the Disney parks from around the world. We're going to talk to him anyway, kids, because we're so jealous. Anyway, he's got a great website called The Disney Project. He has a very special event coming up that we wanted to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Keith Gluck.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
All right. We'd love to ask everybody this first question, Keith, and it's, how did your journey with Disney begin? How did you get this passion, and you know, what kept you the fuel fired and kept you going this whole time?
It started for me before I could even walk. I'm sure a lot of Disney fans are the same. My mom was taken to Disneyland a month after it opened. My mom is from the San Francisco Bay Area. Actually, she was born in San Francisco. And when Disneyland opened, her parents took her and her brother, like I said, a month after. It was during the summer it opened. I think it was like mid-August. And to hear her tell the stories, it was just incredible. And it was like nothing that had ever been before them. So they fell in love and they went every summer. And then when, of course, she grew up and had kids and her brother, kids, they took us. They wanted to pass that on to us, so they took us every summer. So I've been there pretty much, as far as I know, every year since I've been alive. Like even when I was just an infant, they would bring us, and it just sort of stuck with me. Like, you know, I have one brother and four cousins from my uncle's side, and for a few of us, it stuck with us, and we still go constantly. And the other ones just sort of like, you know, for them it was a childhood thing, and they go once in a while, but it's not, you know, nearly the same level. And I just sort of got into it, like the history part of it, and I became really fascinated with Walt himself. The very first book report I ever wrote was it was a kid's biography about Walt Disney, and just always been fascinated with the man and how he was able to accomplish so much. And I just really appreciated everything he did, and you know, I felt like I owed him so much, so I really wanted to learn about, you know, a lot of the history of the company as well as the man.
Right. So do you remember like your first memory, you know, probably obviously not as an infant, but do you remember your first memory in
the park? Yeah. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you if it was my first memory, but I have a lot of memories of like, because I grew up, I was born in 74. So I started to, the late 70s is when I first like remember my first memories. And yeah. So I remember just a lot of random tidbits from the parks, and I couldn't even tell you what year they were. So I couldn't tell you my very first, but I can tell you my first memories. And I remember random stuff like the first time I went to Adventures Through Inner Space. I remember going through the queue and looking up and seeing the Atom Mobiles going around the corner, and it looked like you were coming out the other side shrunk, and they had like the little like you know, models in there, like the little dolls that it made it look like you were shrinking. And as a kid, I thought literally we were going to shrink. And I remember being really scared. And I remember when you can get more than just pineapple Dole Whips in the park. You can get orange Dole Whips.
Oh,
I think they sold them at Sunkissed, I presume. There was one on Main Street and one in Adventureland. And there's Sunkissed, I presume, and the Sunkissed Citrus House, I think. I forgot the other one. But I remember being able to get orange Dole Whips. And I remember when the Frontierland little store in the front had like that little shooting gallery with the bears, where if you shot the bear, he'd get up and turn. And if anybody saw that movie Arthur, remember the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore? It was when he took her to the arcade, he's shooting that bear going back and forth. Every time I see that scene, I think of old school Disneyland, because they had that in Frontierland as a kid when I was growing up.
Huh.
So I can go on forever. I have a ton. I remember the original Bear Country. I remember when Space Mountain, you had to take an escalator to get up to the queue. I remember when Pirates, you could just walk to the front of the building. You didn't have to go through the little turnabout. I mean, I have all these random memories of just, you know, growing up there. Like, it was basically every summer, and, you know, I have the best memories of that place.
Yeah, very cool.
So tell us a little bit about the Disney Project. What is the Disney Project?
The Disney Project is, in a nutshell, just my website and my way of just sharing my love of Disney with people. Sometimes I get random inquiries all over the place, Instagram, the comments on Periscope, emails. Like, people will just say, like, what is the Disney Project? And they'll put project in quotes and everything. So much so that I actually had to put something on my website in the About section. I was like, what is the project? Well, there's no one single project that, you know, implies that there's a start and an end date. Honestly, I'll tell you the truth. It was me wanting to do a website about Disney because I've always been a writer and I've always loved Disney. So I figured I'll just do a blog. And this was back in 2011. People had them then, but they weren't nearly as ubiquitous as they are now.
Right.
So I just tried to think of a cool name. And one of the original names for the site I came up with was Walt Sent Me. But that was taken. The URL was taken. So anytime I thought of a cool name, it was taken. So it took me about 2 weeks, and the only stipulations I gave myself were that I had to be able to get the URL, the Twitter, and the Instagram. Yeah. So yeah, and then one day I was sitting there, and I think honestly I was sitting in my, this is back when I lived in San Mateo, I was sitting in my apartment and I was looking at my bookshelf and everything, and I was just scanning my books, and I think I saw the book Project sitting there, and I was like, Disney Project, let's see if that's free. And it was free. So I registered the URL, and I got the Instagram and Twitter. And so that really, that's how it became the Disney Project, really just me trying to think of a somewhat catchy name that was available on all the platforms.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a spinoff of the Florida Project, which was, you know, Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I guess in a teeny tiny way it is, because of the book that inspired it was based on the Florida Project. So, but I wish I could say that was the case. But honestly, back then in 2011, I was still sort of a Disney World rookie. Like, I didn't start going to Disney World until 2005. So if anything, I would have tried to pay more of a, you know, an homage to Disneyland, because that's my home park. But I love Disney World. But no, I wish I had a cooler story. It's just really, I thought that name was kind of cool and it was available, so I snagged it.
Yeah. Before we get to the next question, you know, since you've been to every park, do you have a it's probably hard to say, do you have a favorite park outside of Disneyland?
It is hard, because I was talking about this just the other day with somebody, and you're right, Disneyland Anaheim will always be number one for me, and not just because of me personally, but of going there, but just because that's the only park that Walt ever stepped foot in, so it's really a special place. But I really sort of vacillate between Tokyo DisneySea and Epcot Center, because Tokyo DisneySea is by far the most beautifully themed theme park in the world. Just it's gorgeous.
Right.
But Epcot Center, there's just something about it that always draws me, and it's just that, I mean, now it's sort of changing, and I know it's going to change even more after D23 with the whole, like, you know, and they're going to do more franchises and stuff, so that might change things for me. But up until now, it's just, I don't know, there's something about Epcot and how, like, you know, it sort of kind of does encapsulate Walt's, you know, optimistic future. And I love World Showcase. I think it's gorgeous, especially at night. Epcot is so unique to me. It's hard. Those are probably tied for two. It'd be really hard to pick. But yeah, I can definitely say Tokyo, DisneySea, and Epcot are right up there.
And you were at Shanghai too?
I did Shanghai. I actually did all the Disney parks this year. I did them all in 2015 before Shanghai opened. And then at 2016, I just did the, you know, the stateside parks. And then this year, I always knew I was going to Disneyland Paris in September because I wanted to do the half marathon. But then my buddy and I started talking about, you know, hitting one of the Asia parks. And originally it was just going to be, we're going to hit two. We're going to make it a quick 5 or 6 day trip. And I just, you know, as the planning, you know, got more involved, I was like, there's no way I can not hit all three. I was going to leave out Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is a tiny park, and you can do the whole park in like half a day. But I absolutely adore Mystic Manor. So yeah. I'll tell you right now, it costs like an extra like $700 or $800 just to add Hong Kong to the trip. So I basically paid $800 to ride Mystic Manor. And it was worth it, because that ride is top three in the world. It's an amazing attraction, and I really am glad I went again, because whenever you don't see it for a while, you kind of forget about it, but then when you see it, you're like, okay, now I remember why I love this so much. So yeah, I squeezed it in, and yeah, so I was lucky enough to do every single park this year.
Yeah, I went to a D23 Destination D event here last year, and they had on the show director for Pirates of Shanghai, and he was showing clips of the Pirate Land and like the stunt show, and I was like, wow! I said that is like breathtaking, what they did with that. So, one day we'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely should. The stunt show was really neat. I want to say Mandarin. So I couldn't understand any of it, but it was still, they had good effects and, good, like choreography. And, the show, the actual attraction, Pirates of the Caribbean, the attraction was amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's what I saw. So the question is, we saw that you're a contributor for the Family Museum site. How did all that come about, and what kind of articles have you produced over there?
Well, I started the Disney Project in June of 2011, and by the end of that year, by I think November or December, the people at Mice Chat asked me to start writing for them. I had a friend who wrote for them, and he introduced me, and they were like, why don't you write for us? And I was like, okay. At the time I was pretty green, and I was excited just to have the exposure, because my blog had a few hundred hits, and you hear this major site was asking to write for them. So I started to write for them, and about a month or two later, I went to the Walt Disney Family Museum, which is basically my backyard, and I attended a presentation there, and I wrote a recap of the presentation, and I put it on my blog. Well, they ended up seeing the recap, and they asked me if they could post it on their site, their blog, because they have their own blog, and I was like, of course, absolutely. So that's what they did, and they had sort of known me a little by that time, because I have a friend named Jeff Curdy, and he was one of the creative directors for the museum, and he introduced me around while we were there, and so they sort of knew who I was anyway. But then when they saw my recap, they said, can we post it? And I said, sure. So they did, and it was really neat to be able to see my stuff on their site, because it was never really about because I thought it was really neat when other sites are me to write for them, and I was getting a little more exposure. But for me, the neatest part was being a part of the Walt Disney Family Museum. So when they asked me, I said yes. And then the next time it happened, they were just like, well, why don't, instead of just us posting your stuff, why don't you just write for us? And I was like, of course. So that's how it started. And then I kind of poured everything to that. Like I was still writing for Mice Chat. I started writing for allears.net. And I was really busy that year. I think 2012, 2013, I was really crazy busy. And but I was really focusing the most on the museum, because that was the most special to me.
Yeah, sure.
Writing for them.
Yeah, we've been talking to them. We're trying to get the museum director on the podcast, because I don't think everybody knows that it exists, and I really think that I'd like to toot their horn for a little while and let everybody know.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if you guys know this, but I created a podcast for the museum. So I used to do the WDFM podcast, and we did that for about a year, and that was really fun, because I got to talk to some of the most awesome Disney legends. But yeah, we could talk about that. We could take that offline. I'll see if I can get a hold of somebody there for you. I mean, I'm obviously always willing to promote the museum, and that's basically what I do now, and aside from my own work.
Right.
I try to promote the museum as much as I can. But if you need somebody from there, I can definitely call my contacts and see if they have anybody.
Sure.
That'd be great. Well, let's get to the big ticket item that we wanted to talk about. Tell us about a Day of Imagination event.
So I do local Disney fan events in the Bay Area about once a year. I did one in 2014, one in 2015. I took off 2016. And this year I decided I wanted to take one on the road. So the events are all similar in that I'll do a Disney history presentation because I just love doing that kind of stuff. And then I'll show like a short original film or video just to sort of like add a little bit of extra entertainment. And then I'll have like the headliner, the person who people pay to see, really, they'll do the main presentation. And it's either Disney history or it's their personal Disney history. So it's usually, the events are usually between 3 and 4 hours. And this time, because I wanted to do one in Florida and Disney World, I was like, well, I'm a huge Epcot nerd. And I'm friends with an Imagineer named Tom Morris, who worked on the original Journey to Imagination. I was already friends with Steve Taylor. He was the longest running Dreamfinder for like 15 years in Epcot. So because I was already friends with these guys, it made sense for me to gear the presentation more towards Epcot. And the name came to me because like I wanted to name it something that would be fitting. And then I was like, I was just basically thinking of a way to incorporate imagination. And because the event is sort of kind of all day, like it's from 1 to 4, and then there's a special surprise for guests around 6-ish. And then for the people who buy VIP tickets, we're going to all have drinks together at like 9-ish. So I was like, oh, it's a whole day. So that's when it came to me, just call it a day of imagination. Yeah. But it's going to be really, really cool. I'm going to do a history presentation. It's called The Evolution of the Disney Dark Ride. So I talk about 60 years of dark ride history. And then I'm going to show a short film, again, promoting the museum. It's going to be a short film that talks about the model that you can find inside the Walt Disney Family Museum. And I, just the other day, I went up to the model shop where the company created it. And I got to interview the people who were the two heads of the team. And they gave me a lot of fascinating insights. So I'm going to put that video together and show that there. And then Tom's going to have his Disney history presentation where he's going to talk about a lot of the great stuff that he's done. He's done stuff for Epcot. He was in charge of Fantasyland for Disneyland Paris. He was the one who designed he was the head of the design team for the castle. So he's responsible for the best Disney castle in the world. He worked in Hong Kong Disneyland. He did so much stuff. He's been with Imagineering for over 40 years. So he's going to have a great presentation. And then at the end, we'll end it with a panel between him and Steve. So basically it'd be like one of the original Journey to Imagination Imagineers with the Dreamfinder, and they'll just be like sharing their stories about like, you know, old school future world.
That sounds good. Yeah, we may have to sign up for that.
Yeah, if you guys are in the area, I would definitely love for you to come by.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. And when is that event going to be held?
That event is October 28th, and it starts at 1 p.m. 1 to 4, and it will be held in Disney Springs. I tried to get it on Disney property, but it was literally
too expensive.
Yeah. So I wanted to keep ticket prices down. So I basically, whenever I do these events, I take how much it's going to cost me renting the venue, flying out the presenter and getting them a rental car, all that, putting them in a hotel, everything. And then I divide that by the number of people I think are going to show up. Mm-hmm. And then that's how much I charge. I basically just try to break even with these events. It's just really about like doing a cool, fun thing for Disney fans. But I got a cool added thing this time is I'm going to be selling raffle tickets for prizes, and I'm going to be selling exclusive event posters that a friend of mine who's a professional designer, graphic designer, he did for me. Be selling those. It's like a stylized version of the Dreamfinder with the Imagineer in the background. We'll be selling those, and 100% of all the profits from both the raffle tickets and the posters are going to go to a local Orlando animal shelter. Oh, wow. I'm a huge animal lover, so all the proceeds are going to the Pet Alliance of Greater Orlando. So I'm excited about that, to be able to give a little bit back to a local community, because not only am I a huge Disney nerd, but I'm a huge animal lover, so it's going to work out well.
Well, then you'll be glad to know that Walt Disney World has 4 resorts where you can now bring your dog.
I heard about that. I saw the the conversations on Disney Twitter, and some of them got pretty heated.
I'm sure they were.
I'm sure. My birthday was a week ago, Sunday on the 8th, and so for the week leading up and the week after, we have an organization out here called Canines for Warriors, and it's for veterans who come back who either have some type of post traumatic stress issue or a physical issue, or even for soldiers who come back with a sexually, because we got male and female who are coming back, and there's some kinky stuff going on over in that part of the world, or some of those parts of the world. So I don't want to point fingers, but they partner them with rescue animals. They rescue the animals, train them, and then they partner them with a veteran, and we just got done raising a few hundred dollars for those guys.
That's awesome.
So that's what I did for my birthday. So when I was very excited when I saw that on the website there. So I thought that was kind of cool. So I was going to ask you about that, but you brought it up. So that's,
I love it. Brilliant. Yeah.
So that's really cool.
There's so many great causes to choose from, and it's really hard to pick. But what the way I was able to choose is because, you know, you had Harvey and you had Irma and you have all these things, and like the ACLU, it's hard to pick. And as much as I sympathize with like people who are going through their stuff, I always sort of felt like, you know, people definitely fall on hard times, but when animals fall on hard times, like they can't help themselves. Like, you know, if a dog gets abandoned or beaten and thrown out, mm-hmm. like he can't like pick himself up and dust himself off. He's literally just homeless and he's going to die in the street. And it always breaks my heart when I see that kind of stuff. So that's why I went with animals, because, you know, like I said, they basically need us. So yeah. It was, and ultimately an easy decision, but I might mix it up next time. If this is successful and when I do another event, maybe I'll pick a different charity, but I definitely wanted my first one to be this, because it's, you know, it's just for me, it's like a very personal thing to be able to help out, you know, animals like this.
Yeah, sounds
that's
good.
Awesome. So that's cool. So we want to make sure that everybody goes and checks that out, and they can find, I know we're going to talk about, you know, other things, but specifically, where can they find information for A Day of Imagination?
The easiest way to do it is just go to the site. It's disneyproject.com/events. There's a specific post about it. I can't even remember what the URL is, but if you go to disneyproject.com/events, the first thing at the top is the link to the article that I wrote about it. And the article gives basically all the information about the event itself, like the itinerary, link to buy tickets. And I give you a little bit of background in case people don't know who Tom Morris is, because he's a very talented and prolific Imagineer, but sometimes people don't know. Like if you say Tom Morris, you know, some people know him in the Disney circle, but some people are like, what has he done again? You say, oh, yeah. how about the best castle in the world? They go, okay, yeah, I know that. Yeah. And then same thing. I say Steve Taylor, they're like, who's that again? And he'd be like, okay, he was the longest running Dreamfinder in Epcot. They're like, oh, Dreamfinder, that's so cool. So I give a little bit of background about what they did, and they did more than just that too. There's a lot of different things that they've done for the company. So, and then I give a little bit about myself in case people are curious, like who the heck is Keith Gluck? So I talk about my sort of, you know, resume from writing for the museum and podcasting and all the random things that I've done.
Right.
So yeah, so it's all on the site, and the link to buy tickets is there. There's VIP is sold out, I'm afraid, but there are some general admission tickets left.
So even after going to Shanghai, you still think that the castle at Disneyland Paris is better?
Easily, yeah. The castle in Shanghai is impressive. It's huge. But it's a little on the boxy side. When you go inside, it's massive, and they have these amazing tile murals, and they have like a winding staircase that leads you through. It's like a walkthrough, and I think it was mm-hmm. I think it was different princesses. I only remember seeing Snow White for some reason. I can't remember if I saw anything else. It's a gorgeous and it's a formidable castle. I'll say that for sure.
Right.
But as far as just raw beauty and, you know, aesthetics and, you know, like charisma or whatever you want to say, the castle in Paris is by far the prettiest. And I still would give that the nod any day.
I agree. I agree. I've been there. Not to mention it's got a dragon in the basement. So there's a plus right there.
That's true. Yeah. Every castle has something about it. The ones in Tokyo and Magic Kingdom in Florida were almost identical. I think they're like a foot or two off. And same thing with Anaheim and Hong Kong. Those were identical, but as you guys probably know, they're redoing the castle in Hong Kong. So
yeah. Right.
It'll be cool that all the castles will be unique with the exception of Tokyo and Magic Kingdom. But I don't think Tokyo has a Cinderella like suite in there, so maybe that's what's going to set those apart. But I like the idea of the parks having a unique castle.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Yeah. So in your travels with all of the blogging and the podcasting and everything, you've interviewed some amazing people. Do you have a favorite person, maybe one or two, that is your favorite, and why would they be one of your favorites?
So one time I did a personal interview. It wasn't an interview meant for consumption. I was working on a piece for something, and it required me to interview Richard Sherman. So I got in touch with him, and I went to his house. I was going to be in LA at a certain time, and he lives in Southern California. So he was like, I was like, where should I meet you? I didn't know if it was too, you know, forward to ask him if I can come to his house or whatever. So I said, where do you want me to meet you? And he was like, just come over and here's my address. And I was like, okay. So I don't know if you guys know this, but the Carousel of Progress is my favorite attraction. As much as I love Mystic Manor, Carousel of Progress is number one. So I went there to interview him, and with the full on intention, there was no like, you know, oh, this is a last minute idea. I knew what I was doing because I brought my camera and I brought my tripod. After the interview, we talked for about 45 minutes, and I said, he was like, okay, we got to get to lunch. We got to get to dinner pretty soon. Me and Elizabeth are going to have a dinner to go to. And I was like, okay. I said, you know, I said, I just have one last question. And I said, you could say no, but I have to ask. He's like, yeah, what is it? I said, first of all, do you have a piano in your house? And he's like, Keith, I have three pianos in my house. And I was like, wow. Okay, can I please sing It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow with you? And can I film it? And he looked at me for a second. He was like, let's go. So we got up and we walked over to his piano, and I set up my camera and tripod, and I sang It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow for Gene Sherman.
Holy and mackerel.
Probably, you know, one of the coolest moments of my entire life. And at the end of it, I was like, I was filming it with my camera, but I also had my phone recording it. And I was like breaking down the camera and the tripod and putting everything away, but I just let the phone record. It was running. And as I was breaking it down, he just casually drops the fact that he had not done that with anybody since the last time he did it was with his brother and Walt Disney.
Whoa.
That's the last time he sat at a piano and sang Beautiful Tomorrow with another person.
Now, where did
and,
we find this video?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
So if you go to YouTube, and I think my YouTube name is Disney Project Blog, as Disney Project was taken. But if you go to YouTube and just search, literally just search singing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow with Richard Sherman, I think that's what I creatively titled it.
Right.
It'll come up, and there's me, and you'll see the biggest smile. It was hard to sing because I was smiling so much.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So that was my favorite interview because of what happened. But as far as like interviewing a person, that's really hard to say too, because talking to Walt's daughter was incredible. I mean, I was lucky enough to be friends with her, so we got to chat at the museum from time to time. But like when I actually officially interviewed her, just like, you know, hearing her talk about, like, you know, the stories from when, you know, her dad was around, and just hearing her say things like wording it like my dad, like, oh, da, 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 my dad like this. And I'm like, it's just cool. Yeah. So there'd probably be like, you know, a bunch of second places, you know, like talking with Diane. Don Hahn was a really fun interview. Bob Gurr is always a hoot.
Oh yeah,
he's always funny.
Yeah.
One time I got to talk to him and Rolly at the same time, Rolly Crump, and they were bantering with each other. And
yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. It's really hard to choose a second favorite, but what I will tell you is, I tell this to some people. So I've been lucky enough to interview like these amazing Disney legends. And, you know, like one time I got to interview, actually, I got to talk to Tom Hanks because he came to the museum to research obviously for Saving Mr. Banks. He researched a role for Walt Disney. So, I got to interview Tom Hanks and all these amazing people, but I will tell you the only time I ever fanboyed and geeked out was actually with Catherine Beaumont. Because I grew up with Disney films, but there was always like, for some reason, there was always like three on a rotation in my house. I don't know if it was because of me or my mom or whatever, but it was always either Pinocchio, The Three Caballeros, or Alice in Wonderland. And we watched them all. Don't get me wrong, Lady and the Tramp, all the originals. But those, I remember those the most. And I watched Alice in Wonderland many times. And then I remember I was interviewing Catherine Beaumont. And at one point, I stopped in the interview, and I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to Alice right now. This is a trip, because I grew up watching this movie like so many times, and I was literally talking to Alice.
Yeah.
So, and she laughed. She kind of giggled. She was so like sweet and like nice and everything. So that was a really fun moment for me, because I didn't do that with, like, you know, even though I was privately geeking out with Tom Hanks, I was like, oh my God, it's Tom Hanks. But I was super professional, and he was a Bay Area guy. So we got to talk a lot about the Bay Area. But yeah, that was the only time I ever stopped in an interview and sort of had the fanboy moment. It was when I got to talk to Alice. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be completely honest with you, my friend. I didn't like you before. When you were talking about all the parks, you know, around the world, and then you tell the story about singing "Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow" with Mr. Sherman, I really hate it. and you're coming to my town. So I would be sleeping with one eye open, my friend, I think.
That, perhaps you'll...
It's great perhaps stories, you'll, man. Go ahead, what?
Perhaps let me, I said, perhaps let me buy you a drink when I come.
I can make it. And maybe we'll buy you one.
Maybe we'll buy you one. How's that? That's so amazing, and that's the one thing about being, you know, into the podcasting and the... You know, we don't talk about this very much, but you know, we mentioned before we started recording, we did our 400th episode. As a blogger, as a podcaster, when you get to talk to your heroes, like we were talking earlier, it's not about us, but you know, just sharing a moment. We interviewed Pat Carroll, and you know, when you get to realize, you know, we're interviewing
Pat Carroll
or, yeah, or Margaret Carey.
Yeah.
You know, when you start being able to talk to these people, you just realize how incredibly blessed you are, because you started a blog based on a dude who started a theme park in a animation company on a mouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a crazy life, and it's cool. And it's cool to hear your story about that. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah. And you talk about Bob. I mean, Bob is he was just out here talking about he had an East Coast premiere for his documentary. But yeah. I remember Bob and Marty together bantering. It's also very funny.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of miss, you know, Marty now. That moment's gone, you know.
There was one really cool moment, I'll tell you guys, and I can't remember if I've told this in another interview or not. I try not to say all these things and say, hey, like, look how cool I am, but I just think they're really cool stories.
Right.
But there's this one time when I was in the museum, and I knew Marty from, I had met Marty before, and I interviewed him for a piece I was working on. And so before he came to the museum, I had known him, and we met once or twice. And he was the kind of guy who... he remembered you. He was like amazing.
Yeah.
And this was when Diane was still alive, and he came to the museum and he was signing autographs, and there was a huge line, and I'm not a big autograph guy, and plus I just wanted to kind of maintain this level of, like, I mean, not like a peer, like these guys are Disney legends and I'm like a Disney nerd, but like,
yeah,
I just feel like I don't want to cross that line with like, oh, can I get your autograph? I just wanted them to be able to, like, you know who I was and if I ever needed an interview or whatever. So I didn't stay in line for an autograph, but I did want to talk to him because I had some follow-up questions from the last time I interviewed him, and he had given me his card, so I just wanted to make sure that that email was still accurate. So I waited for the whole line to go through, and then finally I jumped in at the end, and then they went to the museum, obviously, so the guy was holding the line up. He was like, you can't jump in, but he knew who I was. He was just messing with me. I said, right. I just want to ask him a cool question. So so I get in, and then I go up to the desk, and he was like, hey, Keith. I'm like, hey, Marty. I have a question for you. I said, I want to have some follow-up questions, but I just want to make sure that I have your right email address. So I pulled out the card. I gave it to him, and he was like, oh, well, this one still works, but I have a better one now. So he turned it over, and he's writing the you know, the new email address on the back of that card. And then Diane saw us interacting, and maybe she thought he was signing something for me because he was literally writing down his email address. But she came over and she's like, oh, Marty, I want you to meet one of our best writers. This is Keith Gluck. Because she was so excited because she really loved my writing. And she told me that a few times, and I was really grateful for that. And then she said, she came over to introduce Marty to me, but he looks up and he goes, oh, yeah, I know Keith. And I'm sitting there, and literally for a second I sit there, I was like, okay, we have Diane Disney Miller and we have Marty Sklar, and they're talking about me, and they both know who I am. And it was just like the weirdest, it was like kind of an out of body experience, like when I saw that. And so I always remember that with Marty. I mean, I had the good fortune to see Marty multiple times, but that was like the one that sticks out the most, because it was just like one of those things where you just sort of, like you just said, you know, where you just wonder how you got there. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Some nerd who started a blog, and here you are with, like, you know, two of the most famous Disney people there are, like, you know, talking about you because they both know you. So
right.
It was really, really neat, really neat experience.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. All right, on your website, it says, we hear there's a photo out there of you and Bob Gurr in a hot tub. I have to ask, is there really a photo of you and Bob in a hot tub?
Yes, there is really a photo of me and Bob in a hot tub. I'll give you the short version of it. It's not as salacious as you would think.
Okay.
basically going back to my first event, the Disney Project event was, it was called Walt, Wed, and Westcott. And it was the first event I ever did. It was back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I did it with a friend of mine, and he helped me sort of like, you know, put some of the material together. He did all the work on Westcott. I think I did almost everything else. And I like to do, or this is the first one, but I wanted to do a short film with the presenter, and I wanted that to be my calling card from all my events. So I wanted to be like, whoever's my guest, that person and I will star together in a short film, and I'll show that film at the event, and maybe I'll put them on YouTube later. But if nothing else, the people who are attending get the sneak peek, you know, the first look or whatever. Okay. So the film that I ended up doing was, it was me and my friend go to Bob Gurr's house, and it was the premise was two Disney nerds get invited to Bob Gurr's house under the you know, the assumption that they're going to see all these amazing Disney artifacts. And what happens is, as soon as they get there, Bob starts showing them Disney artifacts, all right, but it's stuff like, you know, a fork that he stole from the Wed commissary, a pen that he stole from, you know, secretary. And we're like, wow. You know, we're like, what is it? You know, so, and at the very end, we're like, we want to see his Mr. Toad car, because we know he has a toad car. We're talking to ourselves, when are we going to see the toad car? So then at the very end, we're like, he's like, did you enjoy the tour? Because he's showing us like things like socks and an ashtray. So he's like, did you guys enjoy the tour? We're like, well, we kind of thought we were going to see some cooler stuff. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, we're like, let's put it this way. What's your most prized possession? So we're thinking that he's going to say, you know, his toad car. He's like, oh, that's an easy one. We can even go sit in it if you want. Let's go. And we're like, all right, here it is, toad car. And then it cuts to all of us sitting in this hot tub, like just looking at each other. So what we did was we took stills from that scene, and right. I printed out like 150 of them, and me and my friend and then Bob Gurr, we all autographed them, and we put them in the goodie bags for the guests. And we gave them to him right after the movie aired. So as soon as the movie showed, people, you know, loved it. They were clapping and everything. And then between that and the next presentation, we just passed out goodie bags. So then when people were looking through them, they got the joke. Like, I wanted to make sure they understood why they were getting an autographed photo of, you know, Bob Gurr in a hot tub. But so it's true.
Wow.
I still have a few hard copies left, actually. I haven't really posted that photo. A few people did take photos of the photo I gave them, and they posted it and they tagged me, but
yeah,
that photo really hasn't circulated that much.
I'm surprised.
Maybe I should tweet it one of these days. I have a few alternate photos too, like we took a few different takes on the hot tub scene. So
I would just post it on your website. Well, maybe ask Bob first and then post it on your website.
Oh my god, Bob would not mind. Bob would probably be irritated that I haven't posted it yet.
You know what, you're probably right.
He is a character. You guys talked to him, right?
Yeah I've had the lucky fortune of talking to him a couple times. So
yeah, he is a hoot. He is definitely
it's a character. Okay, so here it is. Where can people find you, find the events, and find all your work, and plug everything you got going on?
All right, so everything pretty much can be found on the site right now. I'm sort of going through a redesign, so, you know, bear with me, but it's pretty bare bones right now. But the site is Disney Project. It used to be the, that still works, it's just a redirect, but when I first bought the URL, it wasn't available without the, so I've since acquired it. So basically everything is Disney Project. The site is disneyproject.com. My Twitter is Disney Project. My Instagram is Disney Project. I'm on Periscope. That's Disney Project. And the events, if you go to Disney Project, you can click on the events tab or just go to disneyproject.com/events. And then you'll see not only the link to the current event, but I have a couple of photos of the past events. So you can see me with Imagineer Jerry Reese. He was the guest for the second Disney Project event. And then again, the first event, you'll see a picture of me and Bob Gurr presenting. So yeah, that's where everything is. Basically anything Disney Project, that'll be me.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, because you got some great stories. You met some interesting people. You've been to every park. It's quite a laundry list, you know, yeah, for a blogger or a podcaster, right?
it's been a very, very fun ride, and it hasn't ended yet. I've definitely slowed way down on the blogging, but the reason I've done that is because I'm actually writing a book. So hopefully within the next year or two, you guys will, it'll be Keith Gluck blogger to Keith Gluck author. So
yeah, all right.
Still doing my Disney writing. So, but if you guys come to the event, like I said, I'll buy you a drink that night. Yeah. And I'll tell you even some more stories.
All right. Sounds great. All right. Everybody go check out the Disney Project and check out Keith. He's got a lot of great stories and great articles on his site. And we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.